listening to an episode of the Dynasty Draft Room podcast, brought to you by DynastyDraftRoom.com.
Welcome back inside of the Dynasty Draft Room. It is a great day to talk about Dynasty Fantasy Football. My name is Matt Hicks. I'm your host at the FF underscore educator, joined by Zoe 102 enthusiast Eric Adams at the FF underscore taters, and live from the beautiful ambiance of his living room is Ryan Searfoss at Foss 534. On today's episode of the Dynasty Draft Room podcast, Dynasty Show, we are going to be talking mid-season fantasy football awards. So we are into week 7, just about halfway through of the fantasy football regular season. So we're going to do a check-in here, talk about mid-season awards. We have 7 categories, boys. I'm ready to talk awards, but how are we feeling tonight?
Phenomenal. How about yourself, man?
Oh, thank you. Nobody ever asks how I'm doing, you know?
It's
always how are Ryan and Eric. No one's ever asked how Matt's doing.
But it's because you're wearing a Giants shirt and it makes us sad.
Hey, you know what? Big W this week, which I'm actually very angry about. Daniel Jones looked like absolute trash again, throws an interception in the red zone, and he gets away with it, which annoys the crap out of me because I want Trevor Lawrence. So, you know what? I'm wearing the Giants sweatshirt, but I'm not really that excited about it. Eric, how you doing, man?
Not good that you mentioned Trevor Lawrence, because every mention now just reminds me that he's destined for the Jets. So,
hey, we're only a game out of the Trevor sweepstakes. We're in it, baby.
It's not happening. You got to give that up. You're not. Have you seen the Jets, dude? Oh my God, they're purposely hanging on to Gase just so they can get that pick too.
I have started to buy into that theory. I'm kind of into it.
I think it's 100% true.
It's the best thing they've done in a while.
Yeah, it's smart on their part.
Do you know what's the best thing we've done in a while, guys? Come up with this show idea. That's my transition here. Let's start with our first category, which is going to be most improved. So again, we have 7 categories. I'll go ahead and tease the categories now, but we'll go in order to give our awards, let's say. So our categories are going to be most improved, mid-round steal, hot garbage award, a personal favorite of this podcast, the late round steal, the biggest headache, rookie of the year, and overall fantasy football MVP through the halfway point. But, gentlemen, let's start here with most improved. And I don't know why I'm doing this because I don't want to talk about this guy. But, Ryan, start us off here with your most improved candidate, or your award winner, I should say.
My award winner for the most improved is none other than Ronald Jones. He was an afterthought this offseason with the drafting Keyshawn Vaughn. And then they brought in Shady McCoy and thought he was going to die. And then they brought in Leonard Fournette and they also thought he was going to die. And now he's 5th in the NFL in rushing yards. He's got in the red zone. He showed improvement as a receiver. He was dirt cheap in drafts. And, oh, yeah, he's 23. He's younger than some of the rookie running backs this year. But everybody kind of wrote him off. And now he is balling out. Went from a committee back to somebody who showed he could do the whole workload. That's what I call a turnaround.
I hate that this is a legitimate selection for this award, but we can't deny it. I mean, I have Ronald Jones in just one league. It was an orphan that I picked up, like dispersal draft situation, and I took him because I play running back 0 pretty much everywhere in Dynasty, and he's scoring points for me right now. He is a weekly starter for me in that league, and I can't be mad about it. So, you know, I've benefited in one spot from Ronald Jones, so I guess I can't be too mad about it. But, Eric, you have a much deeper dive and definitely a great candidate for most improved. Somebody that I know you had your eye on coming out of last year's draft class, but he's starting to emerge now in Miami.
Yeah, he just happened to be the first guy I looked – don't ask me why. He was the first guy I looked at last year. I wasn't, like, the hugest fan, but I thought he was a neat little player, I think, coming out of Washington. Miles
Gaskin. A neat little player.
He was a neat little player.
Endorsement.
I mean, hey, man, the guy goes from 7th round pick to like he's the RB16 in fantasy right now. That's impressive. That's exactly what you want from most improved. And, you know, watching Miami in their crap backfield last year, I I was a little upset that he didn't get much of a burn, but he didn't really do much last year. And now this year, he just looks like a completely different player. I mean, he looks really good. Miles Gaskin is definitely a candidate for most improved player. And I'm proud of that. Because like I said, I don't know why.
Legitimate PPR contributor.
Yeah. And like I said, I don't know why, but like he just happened to be the first guy I looked at in the draft last year. He was the first one I just looked at tape on. And yeah, it's nice to see him. Nice to see him becoming something. That's nice to see.
I think he has something like 60% of the snaps or 60% of the overall touches for Miami's backfield right now, which is obviously really impressive. He's PPR running back 16 right now. And I mean, he doesn't even register on most ADP. You got to go pretty deep to have had this guy on your team. So I think he's a great most improved candidate. For my most improved candidate here, so we have so far two running backs. I'm actually going to go to the quarterback position.
All right, so moving on to mid-round steal here. Sorry. I thought we were done.
Listen, I'm not backing off of my guy just because he had a rough week. I still think Josh Allen needs to be considered for the most improved quarterback or the most improved award here, and this is my nomination because Allen as a passer – especially in the mental side of the game, has improved dramatically, not only from 2019 to 2020, but from 2018. We've talked about it a lot in terms of reining in his mechanics. To a degree, he's been better. His accuracy has been better. But it really comes down to the decision-making with him a lot. And it's really paid out for fantasy football. So he was living in that quarterback 7 to 10 range. But I feel like we could be confident with Josh Allen as a top five dynasty quarterback moving forward, which is not something even I, as a fan of Josh Allen, would have said, 6 weeks ago. So I'm glad to see it, and I think he deserves this most improved award here. But let's go ahead and let's go value. Let's talk about mid-round steal. Now, our definition of a mid-round steal is the player that we think is returning the best value with an ADP preseason dynasty ADP of rounds 4 to 6. And Eric, I'll let you go ahead and start this time.
I actually didn't even check whether he was in 4 to 6, but I'm pretty confident he was 3 to 6 at least. So it counts. Count it and the foul. Kareem Hunt, even with the Nick Chubb injury, I mean, he's been a very good player this year. I feel like I've been heaping the praise on Kareem Hunt. I did it last week too. He's RB10 on the season. Guys, Kareem Hunt is good. They gave him a contract. He's not going to go anywhere. He is money from where you likely got him in the draft. Kareem Hunt's a very good player. He's my mid-round steal.
ADP of 505. So you were within the rules.
I took a leap of faith on that one. My other one I know is late round. So
Eric is so good at this that he is just he can just feel ADP.
Just dialed in.
I'm confused by Ryan's selection here. Ryan, you gonna die on this hill?
What about Will Fuller?
Yeah, I'm talking.
He's 100% a mid round steal.
He was what? I didn't look up the ADP either, but I assumed he was in those rounds.
Did nobody read the show sheet?
He's also in 4 to 6.
Why do I put together the show sheet?
He was definitely in those rounds.
Yeah,
he was very confident. But yeah, so Will Fuller was the mid rounds. We knew he was going to be the wide receiver one coming into this year. He's just had health concerns for since the existence of time. And he is wide receiver 12 right now while missing a week. He's been absolutely lights out. His lowest performance in any week so far has been just shy of 17 PPR points. He's been as solid as can be because him and Deshaun Watson match an offense that has to pass. As long as he's on the field, he's a must play, and he's not just a boomer bust guy.
Seventh round ADP.
So that's exactly in there.
Even better.
No, is 7 in between 4 and 6, Ryan?
Close enough. He's not a mid-round steal.
This
he's
is
a
why you're not an analytics podcast.
We don't numbers. We don't numbers here.
The 7th is even better then.
Well, I shouldn't really rag on Ryan cheating because I kind of cheated myself in this because I'm selecting two guys, but they're related, and I'm selecting both Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. I feel like we are not paying enough attention to the fact that Adam Thielen is wide receiver 3 in PPR right now, 32 receptions, 415 yards, but a whopping 7 touchdowns this season. 7 touchdowns for Adam Thielen. I'm pretty sure – I got to double check. I'm pretty sure it's a career high just through 6 weeks. I'm going to double check this stat right now. No, he had 9 in 2018, but it's his second highest right now just through 6 weeks. And then right behind him, after he leaves Minnesota and goes to Buffalo, we have Stephon Diggs, who has 42 receptions and 555 yards and 3 touchdowns through 4 weeks. So Adam Thielen is getting the touchdowns and Diggs is getting the receptions. It seems like this breakup in Minnesota has benefited both of these guys in terms of fantasy purposes. And I believe Adam Thielen has a lower ADP, a lower preseason ADP than Stephon Diggs. So they're both, or no, they were 408 and 410. Adam Thielen was 408 and Stephon Diggs was 410. So these guys were right next to each other in preseason ADP. And then the other right next to each other at the top of the wide receiver charts at the midway point. And I don't think anybody would have called this.
No, I thought Diggs was going to do okay. I was worried about Thielen.
I was much more confident in Diggs than Thielen. I was much more confident.
Guys, yeah, we had a talk like 2 or 3 weeks ago about a trade, and Thielen was in the trade, and you guys treated him like a throw-in. I don't know what you guys have against Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen's a very, very, very good wide receiver. I would kill to have him on the Patriots. Like, he's good. He's good. The guy who we're about to talk about is not good. I don't know what happened to him.
I should have saved this for last because I just feel like, you know, this really fits the podcast. The Hot Garbage Award, which is what we're calling our biggest disappointment. And no, I did not nominate Ryan. Instead, I'll let him go first.
I'm an absolute star. I'm going with Zach Ertz, man. We drafted him in the 3rd to 4th round ADP. He was everybody's tight end 4, and he has just completely fallen off this year. Finally got to watch a couple Eagles games, and he looks washed. He's not there. Now, I'm not going to bring the injury into it, but the production wasn't there when he was the only possible target to have. I think that job's good or it's going forward when they're there, and he's just crushed teams who picked him that high, not only from the lack of production, but from a roster building standpoint. If you take a tight end that early and they don't pan out, it really hurts you in a lot of ways. And Ertz did that to a lot of people.
How about the entire offense? I mean, honestly, this entire Philadelphia offense is a mess.
Except for Fulham somehow.
What they did on Sunday made no sense. It just made no sense. I don't understand that at all.
Still never worried. But that's a whole different conversation.
That just didn't make sense. I don't even know who he was throwing to the whole time.
Yeah.
Right, what do you got here? Hottest garbage.
Yeah, look, I don't know what happened to Kirk Cousins this year, but it's not pretty. I don't like people. You can't even bring up Diggs leaving because Justin Jefferson's been fire. They're 1-5 this year. He has 10 picks. Like, he's had full seasons where he's only had 10 picks. I don't know if it's like the O-line or I don't even know what it is. I guess it's coaching because that's what people are hot about in Minnesota. But like, his completion percentage is like a full 5 points below his average right now. It's just like the wheels have fallen off Kirk Cousins. He's known to have been a very safe starting fantasy quarterback in Minnesota, and this year it's just not good. It's real bad. Just real bad. Didn't they give him a 3-year contract too?
I think it's safe to say you don't like that.
I don't like that. Yeah, I don't like that, Kirk. Minnesota fans, also, I don't know how to tell you this. Like, I'm going to tell you the same thing. I told Matt the same thing. You're not bad enough to get Trevor Lawrence. It's not going to happen. Like, you're going to win at least, like, 2 to 3 games. The Jets might not win a game. So, like, just
I will say, like, I know I'm delusional about it, but Minnesota fans, I think, are really being delusional about it. They're not going to get Justin Fields. I'm fine with Justin Fields. I'll take Justin Fields.
I mean, I don't their defense is in trouble. of Justin Jefferson and Thielen, man, that team is
well young. It's a young defensive unit.
They feel like a team who doesn't embrace the tag.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like, they're not a bad team.
No, they're gonna win late and they're going to upset the fans. All right. Win for nothing. That's great.
That's what's going to happen.
100%. Let's get back on track. I know it's easy to nominate the entire Minnesota organization for the Hot Garbage Award, but instead, I'm going to nominate Leonard Fournette, who I am just really annoyed with this season. I mean, he had the one good game against Carolina, which, I mean, Carolina is like one of the easiest defenses to run against this year. But outside of that one game in week two, he has 12 total rushing attempts and 15 total touches. He was inactive last week. He was inactive in week five. It's what Ryan was alluding to. He let Ronald Jones take the job from him, and Leonard Fournette had every opportunity to start that job and to have that job and to take that job, and he let Ronald Jones take it from him. So he's hot garbage. I got him in two spots, and he's not usable in either of those spots. And so, you know, I think we knew what we were signing up for with Leonard Fournette, and we knew it was a dice roll, but you know what? We came up snake eyes. It wasn't good.
I mean, when you go to a team right before week one, no preseason, new offense, literally like a new quarterback they have to learn from too, and you're behind a future Hall of Famer like Rojo. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you.
I love the way the show's going tonight.
Moving on. It's going down the hot garbage track, let me tell you that much. All right, back to value, boys. Late round steal is our next category. I'll tell our listeners, even though apparently the ADP won't matter for either of you two, but it's an ADP of 10th round or later is technically what we were supposed to follow. So let's see if Ryan followed that.
I absolutely followed that. And what will LaVisca Chenault? He was kind of another dude who's looked at an afterthought. We thought he'd take a long time to adjust to the NFL because the weird ways he was used in college. And
speak
guess
for
what?
Yourself.
Huh?
Speak for the, yourself.
The Jags embraced it, man. He's gotten eight between rushing and receiving. He's had no games sent with less than seven touches minus the first one of the season, which he had six. If you do rush attempts and targets, like he's somebody who's getting volume, which means it's going to be consistent playing time. His snap count's still only in the 60s for the percentage he's on the field. That's going to go up because the way they use him when he's on the field shows they believe in him and shows that he's an important part of that offense. And it's only going to get better. And he's sitting at wide receiver 36 when he was free in fantasy drafts.
I mean, literally free.
Free. So, yes, after the 11th round, Matthew.
All right, Eric.
This guy was going in the 12th. I made sure to check. This is incredible. Robbie Anderson is our wide receiver 6 on the year. I don't even think the biggest Robbie Anderson fans would have said, yeah, he could be wide receiver 6. That's just incredible.
I'll tell you, I have a lot of Robbie Anderson. I bought him everywhere, and I would not have told you wide receiver 6.
Just an incredible year he's having with Teddy in Carolina. I mean, 12th round, and he's wide receiver 6. He's been money. I think that is the definition of a late round steal for Robbie Anderson.
It's a perfect definition of a late round steal. And I got one more great late round steal. It seemed like this offseason we were looking for the next Mark Andrews, right? It was, okay, you know, which tight end is going to come up out of nowhere and is going to give us huge value? And a lot of people have given up on this guy because the first three seasons he hadn't quite come to fruition. But through five games, Jonnu Smith is looking good, and he's looking like a legitimate fantasy football tight end option moving forward. Even though he's played just five games, and a lot of guys have played 6 at this point, he's tight end 5 in PPR formats. He has 5 tight ends that's tied for the league lead with Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce. If you're tied with Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce in anything, you're probably doing a good job. But on top of it, he's doing all of this with a much greater level of efficiency. He has just 29 targets, and in those, he has the 19 receptions and 5 touchdowns. So I really like what Jonnu Smith is doing, and I think moving forward, his projection is only going up. He was a 12th round ADP this year, so I think we got some great value back on Jonnu.
I was watching the Titans game on Sunday too. I love the way they use him. Like, that is prime usage for a tight end. So he has my stamp of approval.
Kind of going back with the John U thing, with the breakout this year, I had it before the season started. We were talking about, if you looked at his, like, deeper stats last year, his yards per target was second in the league for tight ends. His yard per catch was eighth for tight ends. Target separation was second for tight ends. And QB rating when targeting was sixth for tight ends. The raw numbers weren't there because he didn't get the volume. But with Delaney gone, the writing was on the wall for him.
And with Tanny there. I mean, Tannehill has really stabilized this offense.
Yeah. They're good. They're good there in Tennessee.
All right. So we're on a high note. So in true Dynasty Draft Room fashion, we're going to come crashing back down. Biggest headache is our next category. And for biggest headache, it's not just guys who are bad. It's guys who are inconsistent. We never know if we should be putting them in our lineup or not. They're just causing us headaches if they're on our roster. And Eric, I'll let you go ahead and start with this one.
So, yeah, the guy I chose, I don't know where we're at with him. Through, I think this is, what is this, his third, fourth season? Is this fourth season, Juju?
Yeah.
Is this fourth season? Do we know how good Juju Smith-Schuster is right now? Because I don't.
I got to tell you, if you look at my mentions, if you look at my DMs, if you look at the Slack, Juju is the person I'm being asked about the most, or there's the most chatter about. I mean, Juju, in terms of the fantasy football world, we don't know where we're at on Juju.
Yeah.
He's gotten progressively worse.
It seems like he's getting phased out, and it stinks because you've seen him do good things. It's just now there's so many mouths to feed in Pittsburgh, and it just seems like he's the one who's getting phased out the most, which is weird because like he looked unstoppable his first two seasons. I don't know, man. I don't know where Juju goes from here. If I'm him, I'm looking to get out of Pittsburgh. I would try to leave Pittsburgh. I would go somewhere else because this. Clearly, like, it's just like Ryan said, he's just getting worse and worse in that offense. He's a headache right now. I don't know. If I had him, I would be hating it. I would literally hate having him right now.
Yeah. Luckily, he's a potential free agent this year. So it could be a huge change and for the better.
Yeah, he needs a change of scenery because it's not working. Everyone, I think, looked at Big Ben coming back and they're like, yeah, maybe that'll spark him back up. It didn't. I don't know what's going on. So he's got to go.
It's I think at this point, if you have him on your dynasty roster or if you're rebuilding, he's got to buy. And you're just hoping that he lands in a free agent spot where he's going to hit. And that, I think that's all we can bank on at this point.
That's fair.
Ryan, who do you got?
I got somebody who's still good. You can never bench, but that's what's frustrating. It's Mike Evans. He's sitting at wide receiver 17 in PPR, 11 in standard, if you're one of those people who still play standard. But the way he's gotten his points this year is absolutely frustrating. So he's had two games under double digits, one where it's just 2 points, two games in the high 20s, and then a couple in between. Like, it's all over the place. There's no consistency to his targets. There's no consistency to his volume. His good week 2 weeks ago was 3 catches for 2 touchdowns. I don't know what this offense is doing with him. And he's not getting the volume that we're seeing, which makes him an inconsistent fantasy asset. But he's so good, we can't bench him.
Right.
It's a hard guy to get a gauge on.
Start your studs. I mean, he's the definition of start your studs. You got to ride it. You got to ride the wave with Mike Evans. So he's a great candidate for this category.
His stat line is just – it doesn't make sense.
It's so frustrating.
It's like the offense is still trying to figure out. Now, part of that is, you know, Godwin missed some time, right? And Godwin's been in and out of the lineup. But, you know, it's like the offense is still trying to figure out its identity. And I don't know, right, the big thing with Brady in New England, right, was that he locked in on the guys he likes. But I think we're seeing in Tampa Bay, he's spreading the ball around maybe a little bit more. Like Tyler Johnson has popped up and flashed at times. Scott Miller had his 1 week of relevance, and now he's gone. So
he drew a nice PI this week.
What'd you say?
He drew a nice PI this week.
Hey, everything counts, man. I think On a separate note, I think you should get a fantasy football point for drawing DPI, but that's a different story.
You should get something for it.
He has three games under 10 receiving yards.
No, Mike Evans? Say it as it is. He has two games where he has 2 yards.
He has two games, 2 yards, one with 10, two over 100, one with 41.
I mean,
that's so freaking frustrating.
It's weird. Textbook.
Target wise, 4 targets are less than half the games, 8 or more in the other. Like, it's
not. I do expect that to get better as it goes along, though. He's also been dealing with some injuries, so.
I know.
But it is a headache. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. As of now, though, he's a nightmare, man.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Last guy. We actually went clean sweep with wide receivers in this category, and that's DJ Chark. Man, he annoys me. He annoys the crap out of me. I have one I don't play in a lot of redraft leagues, but I have one redraft league where for whatever reason I ended up with DJ Chark and Visca on the same team. And I only want to play one each week, right? And I keep picking wrong, and it's really annoying me. And I've just decided that I'm just going to play Visca because he's at least consistent. And, you know, Chark, he has this week, this past week, where he gets 14 targets and he gets 45 yards. And then you have weeks like week 4 against Cincinnati where he gets 2 touchdowns, 95 yards, and catches 8 out of 9 of his balls. Puts up nearly 30 PBR points. But then you got Houston where he just gets blank 3 for 4 and 16 yards against Houston. There's no reason that a wide receiver should get blanked against the Texans. And so it's just so inconsistent with DJ Chark. You never know when he's going to blow up, but you're terrified to leave him on your bench. I do not like having him on my team.
He had the really good breakout season last year. And like he was having the games last year, like the Cincinnati game where he went 8-95-2. But I think we all worried that like we really thought that he was more like the boomer bust guy. Right. That was unreal what he did last year. But this year seems to be, I think that's what DJ Chark is. Because last year made no sense. That was unreal what he did last year.
Now they know who he is.
Now we know
who we thought he is.
He is who we thought he is.
Exactly. All right, gentlemen, you know this is a favorite of this podcast. Rookie of the Year. Eric, why don't you go ahead and start here with Rookie of the Year?
Okay, so look, I understand that the wide receivers are going bananas, but I'm giving love to my guy because I don't care. I hate that they signed Bell. It doesn't make any sense. CEH is my Rookie of the Year.
We love just, the take lock. I'm just kidding.
Nope. It's not even a take lock. He's RB11. He's was fire yesterday. That was his best game as a pro. I mean, I'm so mad that Bell is there right now. And if they go away from CEH, look, people, if you have CEH, don't get upset. He's legit. He's good. People.
I've been trying to buy him everywhere. I've been
seriously.
It's not going to be serious. Like Lev Bell is taking the Daryl Williams or Darren Williams, or I don't even know what his freaking name is.
Too many. He's taking that role. But yeah, I mean, there's even if they cut back his workload a little bit, this guy, if you can't see it with him, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I really don't know what to tell you. He put Jordan Poyer, who's like an all-pro safety, on skates yesterday. It was just, he's very, very good. And I'm not worried whatsoever about a 1-year contract for Le'Veon Bell. That people like to bring up the goal line carries, dude. He had like 10 going into yesterday. Go back. There's threads on Twitter. Go back and watch those 10 carries. Let me know which running back can get through them. Because unless it's like Barkley and his super quads, I don't think anybody could. So CEH, Rookie of the Year for me. I'm sticking by it.
Ryan, that's a good candidate. It's a good candidate.
Minnesota Vikings fans, I know we said a lot of bad things about you tonight. And there is some hope out there, and that's Justin Jefferson. Where we talked about CEH being the 11th bestest position, Justin Jefferson is 7th through receivers and PPR and has been getting an increased role since he's taken over. This week, he absolutely blew up with taking his 11, which was his highest targets on the year, for 9 catches, 166 yards, 2 touchdowns. And that was only his 2nd best game of the year. He's an absolute stud. He's going to be the wide receiver 1. I know Thielen has the touchdowns right now, but Jefferson has volume. He has age on his side, and he's still just getting accustomed to that offense. He's been a superstar this season, and it doesn't look like it's changing.
I was called ridiculous when in the preseason I continuously said that Justin Jefferson was going to be the rookie wide receiver one this season. It made sense.
I agreed with you on that.
Thank you, because if you look at the tape and you look at the situation, it made so much sense. And we panicked the first couple weeks. That's the best part about this, is that Justin Jefferson is pretty much doing this on 4 weeks, because the first 2 weeks he wasn't involved that much at all, which just tells you what his projection is moving forward. So if you got in on Justin Jefferson like we did, you're very happy right now. And he was, I mean, you got him at a value compared to some of the wide receivers that are struggling to produce this season. I mean, if you look at what you paid for Jerry Jeudy compared to Justin Jefferson, you're probably not thrilled right now. And I'm not trying to hate on Jerry Jeudy. I'm just pointing out that, you know, in every draft, I'm sure, or at least 90% of them, Justin Jefferson went after Jerry Jeudy. But I'm going to go ahead and stick with my guy if we're talking about Take Lock. My rookie of the year is CeeDee Lamb. I just
wide receiver eight.
Yeah. Ten in PPR. Oh, Justin Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb?
No, I'm saying CeeDee Lamb is, I'm sorry, ninth PPR.
Yeah.
Compared to Justin Jefferson's seventh.
Right. So we're talking two spots down here.
At a lower draft pick.
But CeeDee Lamb, what is encouraging to me about CeeDee Lamb, and this is something that I really want to hammer home when it comes to CeeDee Lamb, and it was something that
– So good.
It was something – one, he's really good, and that's the important takeaway. But one of the things that I pointed out was CeeDee Lamb going through the draft process, and one of the things that I really liked about him was that every year at Oklahoma, he adjusted his play style to meet a different quarterback. Remember, he had Baker Mayfield throwing him the ball to start. And then that next year, he had Kyler Murray. That following year was Jalen Hurts. And CeeDee Lamb performed with all of those quarterbacks. And I know there's some similarities to their game, but those are drastically different quarterbacks. All right, even working within the same scheme at Oklahoma. So he comes in, he works well with Dak, and even this past week with Andy Dalton, he catches 7 out of 10 balls. Now, we only get 64 yards because I'm pretty sure Andy Dalton has an 8 out of, like, negative 7. All right, in all actuality, I think his 8 out was, like, 4, but that's a different story. But he's still a viable fantasy football guy, and he will be moving forward because he's going to soak up these receptions. We were told that CeeDee Lamb wasn't going to get targets because Michael Gallup was, you know, existed. Just over the last 2 weeks, CeeDee Lamb has 11 targets and 10 targets in weeks 5 and 6. He, I think, is, I don't know. I mean, I know Justin Jefferson is outscoring him, but CeeDee Lamb is my rookie of the year because he's doing everything I wanted him to do. And honestly, a little bit more, even through the chaos that is the Dallas Cowboys offense.
And now he's got a quarterback that can actually win a few games, right, ESPN?
Oh, shit.
That was a real take. That was a real take.
I mean, ESPN also made a projection that said Kyle Trask was the second best quarterback in this draft class. I saw that top five,
and I was like, "That I'm not even that in tune with college football, and that doesn't make sense at all."
All right, gentlemen, one last category here. It is fantasy football MVP, and we are, and I see it looks like the show sheet. I think we all got this. It's most valuable player, all right? It is not the best player in the league. We're not just nominating the highest overall scoring player. It is the most valuable player. And so, Ryan, I'll let you start here.
And he was drafted highly. He was going either fifth or sixth overall out of the big top four running backs. Alvin Kamara was kind of just that second thought. He's where he started taking receivers over him. And my God, has he been a star and consistent this year. His lowest scoring fantasy performance on the season is 23 PPR points. He had, if you look at his attempts and targets combined, he hasn't been under 20 all year. He's consistently that star running back that we saw 2 years ago, but kind of forgot battling injury this year. He's the perfect piece of that offense, especially once Mike Thomas comes back. Alvin Kamara should finish the season as your RB1. But you know what? If I get him at pick six and he's performing like this without down games, that's MVP status for me. Like, I love consistency. And then when you can pop off a couple 40-point games with that solid floor, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a great pick. I mean, when you say he was an afterthought, it truly was. You know, it was Barkley, CMC, Zeke, and then it was a teardrop. And everybody, including myself, was like, okay, Kamara is in a different category where he is proving, even, you know, injuries aside, he's proving that he should have been in consideration with those other three guys. In especially showing that dual PPR threat ability, 7 touchdowns through the beginning of the season. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Dude, he's unstoppable right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Eric?
My fantasy football MVP is Calvin Ridley. He's the wide receiver 1 in fantasy football right now. He's been money this season outside of the game he missed again. Or he actually didn't miss the game. Jesus. All right. Outside of the stinker in Green Bay.
I don't know what happened there.
But that makes it even more impressive, man. The fact that he's a wide receiver 1, he got blanked in the game again. Nice, Green Bay. That they did that to Mike Evans and him. All right. That's another story. But, you know, Calvin Ridley, look, man, I don't know what the Falcons are going to do going forward. You're hearing all the rumblings right now. The latest rumors that Ryan and Julio could be up to get traded. I'm going to be honest with you. I really think they should blow it up. And if they blow it up, Calvin Ridley is going to be the leader on the team because he's legit. He can be a 1 on his own, even without Julio. I have no doubt in my mind about that now. Calvin Ridley he's done it. He did it his previous season, but this year he's really, really ascended to elite status for me. So Calvin Ridley's my MVP.
All right. You know what? I'm actually really mad I did this because I hate in the NFL how quarterbacks always get MVP.
You are that guy that says it all the time. And you chose the quarterback.
And I chose the quarterback, so I really hate myself. But it's got to be Russ, man. I mean, Russell Wilson, and here's why I'm going to hype him up as the fantasy football MVP. 1, because he is the he's the QB1 in points per game fantasy football scoring right now. 72% completion rate, which is ridiculous. A 19-3 touchdown interception ratio. His 19 touchdowns are 3 more than Josh Allen, who's in second place. It's 4 more than Pat Mahomes. It is 9 more than Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson. All right, so clearly Russ is cooking. All right, but why I picked him in particular was because not only is he lifting himself up, but he is propelling both DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett into near wide receiver 1 type seasons. So just through 5 games, DK Metcalf is wide receiver 8 in PPR scoring, and Tyler Lockett is wide receiver 5. So if you go points per game, both of those guys are actually wide receiver 1s right now, and you have to love it. Because they're getting it done with a ridiculous amount of efficiency. And that has to be the word when you're thinking about the Seattle offense. So many people get scared off because the passing volume isn't there. It's the efficiency. It's the consistency. It's the reliability that you know you can put Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf in your lineup. And they're going to put points up. We just talked about our headaches. The Seattle offense, at least in the passing game, is not a headache if you're staying at the top with these guys, because Russell Wilson helps keep this offense consistent. There's no bad weeks in Seattle.
That's Mr. Unlimited.
He's unlimited. His MVP capabilities are unlimited.
Who's the better quarterback right now, Mahomes or Wilson?
Oof. NFL quarterback?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
I think it's Russell Wilson, and that's nothing against Pat Mahomes, but I think it's Russell Wilson.
Yeah, can you imagine if Russ got to have the volume that Mahomes had?
Right. I mean, look at it. Russell Wilson, 169 attempts through 5 games, and then you got Pat Mahomes here at 219 attempts. Russell Wilson, 72% completion. Mahomes is 65% completion. Points per or passing yards per game, it's got to be pretty close right now because Mahomes is just shy of 1,700 and Russ is just shy of 1,500. So they're pretty close. But like I said, I mean, four more touchdowns, two more interceptions than Mahomes. It's pretty close.
You can't go wrong with either.
No. I mean, QB rating, Russell Wilson is 129 and Pat Mahomes is 110. So if you buy into QB rating, that's a pretty significant gap.
All right, now Mahomes, Wilson, or Ryan Tannehill?
Okay, all right, moving on.
I tried, Ryan. I tried.
Mahomes or Justin Herbert? all right, Nick Foles.
No. We're not doing that.
All right, gentlemen, that's our mid-season awards episode. It'll be interesting to go back at the end of the season and look to see if some of these awards hold up. I think I don't know. I think they will. These don't seem to be trends. These seem to be, you know, legitimate, or I should say, they don't seem to be hot streaks. They seem to be trends. So I'm interested to see, go back at the end of the season and compare, see how we're doing. We appreciate you listening. Make sure to go ahead and leave a 5-star review if you haven't already. That really, really helps us get the word out. If you can leave a review, we'd really appreciate that. Spread the word for us. Keep an eye out for our draft episode later on this week. And we appreciate you listening.
Later, taters.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dynasty Draft Room Podcast. Please make sure to go ahead and subscribe. Leave us a 5-star.